There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Getaway Tuesday for a lot of people heading out for the Thanksgiving holiday. And we'll talk more things coming up in our area here later on in the show. Also on the way, Dale Leish from LandNap joins me. April Marie Fogel joins me. Plus, we'll look at that Wall Street Journal story out today about the spending and what the Doge group may end up doing here, where they could cut. We'll get into that as well in the second half of this hour. But I'm happy to do this, and it's cool. This has been a couple years of doing it. It makes me happy to see these young men in studio as we continue Veterans Month here on FM Talk 106.5. And we bring you this by our friends at Onsite Auto Body Solutions. We said this before, I talked to the panoply of veterans. I was lucky enough when this started to talk to men from the Greatest Generation, World War II veterans, to people that had just cycled back from service, have been on the show, and everything in between. We also like to talk to those folks that are the incoming folks that will make up our military going forward. And fresh out of New York, back home to South Alabama, West Point Cadets, Cadet Andrew Conrad and Cadet Trad McDaniel. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is very cool. There, as you look at the list of, you would say D1 recruiting for character, merit, ability are the service academies, and I imagine y'all believe that West Point's the best of those.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. So I asked this question of our veterans on the show. I'll ask their enlistment story. Mm-hmm. So with y'all, and Conrad, you want to go first, or Trad, Andrew, you want to go first, or Trad, you want to go first, let me know. But what made you decide, when did you decide, I want to do a service academy? And was it always, I want to go to West Point or another service academy? When did that happen?
So about eighth grade was when I decided that.
Eighth grade?
Yes, sir. I decided that I wanted to go to a service academy. I wasn't sure which one I wanted to go to. Originally, I thought it was Air Force because I thought I wanted to fly. But as I progressed through high school.
Army has aviation too, though, right?
Yes, sir, we do. We fly helicopters. Yeah. I thought I maybe wanted to fly a jet.
Okay.
And so as I go in, I realized, you know, maybe pilot wasn't a job for me. So I was between Army and Navy. And why I ultimately decided to go with West Point was there's no parallel to the leadership and character development that we get at West Point. The other service academies, while they do have those, it's not the framework for character development is not as robust as it is at West Point.
It is interesting, too, that when we don't say, the Army school,
yeah,
we say West Point.
Yes,
so, I mean, the geography precedes that. I mean, it's a brand,
yes,
right?
Sir.
I mean, it's a brand that's out there. But you said in eighth grade. All right. Trad, Andrew, let's talk about your decision. Were you in fifth grade, fourth, kindergarten? When did you decide?
It was about the same time, I guess, as Trad was thinking about.
And get you close to that mic. There
middle
you go.
School. Eighth grade.
That early?
Yeah.
Why? And why is it for both of y'all? Do you have military family? What made you think, you know, I want to serve?
Yeah, so my dad's actually an old grad. I got to go up to his 25th reunion when I was in middle school. And I'd always kind of wanted to serve. I'm not really sure what I was going to look like. And then I just got introduced to West Point in eighth grade. And it just really, really appealed to me. The way to challenge myself, just seeing the people there who also wanted to challenge themselves, and you know, just really great people there. You really develop good relationships and have a lot of great opportunities.
It says a lot about both of you that you were deciding that young. I mean, I was figuring out how to tie my shoes in eighth grade, and y'all are already making decisions about your future. So you in high school, what high school did you go to?
Bayshore Christian.
All right, Bayshore Christian, and you went to?
I went to St. Michael.
Okay, so so shout out to your high school folks. Yep. When you made that decision, when you told your friends, you said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, even before you, you know, got the nod, mm-hmm. what'd your friends say?
Yeah, so it was actually...
Why you want to do that, man?
Yeah, well, it was actually kind of interesting because I had an entirely different community. Like, I only went to Bayshore the last 2 years of high school. I was actually homeschooled all the way through my sophomore year. So, yeah, like, my other homeschool friends, like, I guess they never had really thought about that. So mm-hmm. I guess they didn't really have a lot of context to put that in. Like, okay, they want to go to a college. I've never heard of it. But, yeah, there's some people who are like, oh, that's really awesome. I had a buddy at Bayshore who was thinking about going to the Naval Academy. So we were always talking about that, you know, throwing beef at Army and Navy. Mm-hmm. And,
you already started the trash talk.
Yeah,
good.
Of course.
I mean, so Trent, about you, you're at St. Michael's, and you say, hey, I'm going to go to West Point. Your buddies go, dude, why aren't you going to Alabama or Auburn, man? We're going to be having fun.
There was a little bit of that, but I think they saw that it kind of suited my personality and the person I was in high school. And so they were just like, oh, yeah, sounds about right.
Give me an idea, either you or both of you, on what a day is like at West Point. I mean, how much of it, obviously, you're getting a fantastic college education, but you're getting a military education mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, so a typical day, I'm waking up at like 6 a.m., just kind of getting ready for the day. We have a formation at about 7. We go to breakfast. It's breakfast and lunch are mandatory meals. It's a family-style meal. So you're sitting with the same 12 people every day, getting to know them. So it's a cool environment. It's cool to be able to, you know, get to know them really well. And, you know, you're all forced to be there mm-hmm. so to really, like, build those relationships. All morning you're at classes. That'll vary.
So after that, it's like normal. You got your whatever. Yeah, you got English at whatever time or mm-hmm. whatever. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. So all morning we have classes, another mandatory meal at lunchtime. And then we have classes after lunch until about 4 p.m. After that, we have time for, like, physical training. So it really varies depending on the kind of team you're on. So,
explain the team you're on.
Yeah, so West Point has so many opportunities. One thing that I do, it's called Sandhurst. So Sandhurst is essentially like a military skills competition. So we do things like weapons disassembly, assembly, and qualifying on different weapon systems, ruck marches, just basic soldier skills. And the Corps is divided into 36 different companies. So each company has its own Sandhurst team, and we all compete against one another throughout the semester. So it's kind of
cool.
Fun. Yeah,
that is
a lot
cool.
Of events. Yeah.
So, I mean, so you have that normal college load, but at the bookending, it is being members of the U.S. Army.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have, you know, that, you know, we call that MacArthur Hour in the afternoon. And then evening okay. is time for open dinner, and then we're really just doing homework all night. So.
Trad.
I will say our college load is a little bit more than the average college student. So I think the average college freshman would take about 12 credit hours.
Mm-hmm. How many
last semester? My first semester I had 20 and a half.
Whew.
And then 19. And then I'm cruising at about 17 and a half this semester.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And then in addition to our sports hours, we also, after lunch, on certain days, we'll have briefs for character development. It's kind of time where we'll have speakers. Like, we had Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, mm-hmm. come talk to our economics course.
Give you any trade ideas, anything he's bullish on?
Well, he did say he didn't think the interest rate was going to go down, which was pretty interesting.
That is cool.
But he said it was due to factors outside of how GDP is looking. And
yeah. Yeah, well, that's actually a good thing you bring up. Yeah, we have a lot of really, really cool people come to West Point. Like back in, I think, August. We had Elon Musk come, and he spoke to the Corps
Elon
of Cadets.
Musk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Elon Musk came. Who else came?
We had one of the assistant coaches for Coach Stallings come talk to us, an assistant coach. Y'all got Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Pretty nice stuff.
Yes, sir.
There was an optional talk with Representative McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, sure.
Chief Justice Roberts.
Roberts.
Yeah, I heard him speak. This is all just the semester. So.
That's quite a list. Yeah. I guess that means something. Those folks go, you know what? Here's the best and brightest, and going forward, the West Point cadets, let's talk to them. Y'all can hold on a second. We'll go to the news break and come back, because we're going to talk about, if you're interested in this, how you can talk to these men and others about service academies.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And yet, wondering this too, as my friend and banker, Michael Holland, in studio, and hear the difference in just looking at his face. I mean, my face, my jaw dropped when I heard the people y'all had come speak to you in the first semester. Was it like that for you, Michael?
It was not.
It's a heck of a who's list that y'all got to hear from in just one semester. All right, so let's talk about this. Maybe there's some young men and women listening. For sure their parents are listening right now. So let's talk about service academies and a chance to, you know, come out and meet folks like you and talk about, you know, get away from the old people when people ask you what's real. Y'all are doing this event. When's this happening?
Yes, sir. So tonight at 7 p.m., we're going to be at Three Circle Church in Daphne.
Okay.
It's just going to be us two there. We're going to be talking about West Point, just kind of what the application process looks like. And, if they have any specific questions for us, we'd love to talk with them.
Now, because it's got to feel good to have a fellow South Alabama person there, you know, and probably want to load up as many as possible from here.
Yes, sir. It's a little, this area attracts a lot more, Navy and Coast Guard applicants than West Point. So it's a great area to be applying for West Point.
So y'all are kind of recruiters.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, kind of doing that recruiting. And if the people would come to you and say, you know, like, what kind of advice? Like, okay, the application process, how is it different than applying somewhere else? What would they need to know?
So the longevity of the application, it's not just you write an essay, submit it. You have to do interviews. You have to apply to different congressmen to get their basically endorsement to go to the academy. Then you have to get letters of recommendation from all sorts of people, and that can take time. So the biggest piece of advice, if I give it right now, is just start early. Like, start the summer before your senior year if you're a junior in high school, because what people find out is they wait too long, and then they, like, by August, all the congressional offices need to have your application in for a nomination. So really, after August is too late to be applying to the academy.
So this is not something you think about during your senior year. You've got to get this going beforehand.
Right. Yes, sir.
What do people get right about life at West Point? What do they get wrong about life at West Point? There's movies been made. There's books been written.
Yeah.
What when you got there, you said, yeah, okay, that's like it looked in the movies, and no, that's not.
It's normal college kids who go there. Like, yes, we are committed to service, and we do have high level of character, but at the end of the day, like, we like to listen to the same music as other college kids do. We like sports. Like, I'm a big Alabama fan.
Good for you. Roll Tide, roll.
Yeah, I definitely concur with that. You see, like, promotional videos about, all the cadets marching on the plane or something.
Yeah.
And, like, you just, everyone looks, like, stone cold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in their uniforms with the rifles and everything. And, like, me being in there, like, I see the other side of it, you know.
So you did. You saw it beforehand and saw, here's the image of what it's going to be like. And now you're in it and you see it through both sides.
Yeah, you realize just how, like, normal everyone is, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're all high achievers, and, you know, we want to do our
best. Yeah, you wouldn't
be
there if y'all aren't high achievers,
But at the end of the day, yeah, like, we're all just normal people.
We're not, like, super tight, rigid people who all we think about is work, school, military. Like, I don't know, on Friday nights, I'll play video games with my roommates and just, like, listen to music, relax. It's not, we're not always locked in as a.
Well, y'all get to, you get a little bit of liberty, don't you? I know that one of your fellow cadets that's from here, I know that you know, had some weekend pass or something like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's always a privilege. They have a ferry that will take us across the river to the. There's a train station that will take you to New York, and then you can just spend the weekend in New York, go get some good food. And I have the privilege of having two of my classmates from St. Michael at Columbia and Fordham in the city.
Okay.
So I'll go down on the weekends and reunite with them and have a good time.
Do they give you a when you get there and you go to your friends at Columbia and Fordham, you say, what was your last week like, and then what was y'all's last week like? It's an interesting comparison.
Well, Columbia, I would say, is as academically rigorous as West Point is, because my friend is always doing work, and then he's like writing Broadway musicals. He's doing a lot over there. So, but one thing that they don't have is the structure we have. We're mm-hmm. we wake up at a certain time, we eat breakfast and lunch at a certain time, and. I found that, like, through talking with them, that I actually enjoy the structure that West Point offers. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to go to class. Your teachers will always be there because they have to be at class, too. Mm-hmm. I've heard some nightmare stories about professors just not showing up for class, or not even showing up for the semester.
not happening at West Point.
No, sir, not happening at West Point.
When will y'all have classes outside the regular college curriculum, be more a war tactics, warfare, those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as like military yes. training, mm-hmm. So during the
academic, you have a sit down. I know you that you train, but in a classroom sitting.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So we have it's our military science class. We have one every year of our time at the academy. So
I would love to be a fly on the wall for those. I think it'd be fascinating.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So MS-100, your first year, you're just kind of learning the basics of, just basic soldier things, write basic, we call them op words, which mm-hmm. is just, how you organize.
It's military paperwork to organize a mission. So behind like every cool, like guys rappelling out of helicopters, there's a very boring sheet of paper called an op word that's very detailed of like, all right, this time we'll be leaving here doing this. Like, here's how we'll resupply. It's a 5-paragraph structure. It's very long, and you spend a lot of time briefing it. So I'm in military science this semester, and what we learned was kind of how to brief this framework. So where what you wrote down aligns with like the mission you're going to do. So, we had our final brief last week, and we were planning a raid on a compound in Taiwan. And so,
interesting.
We had to translate it from that. We were given a mission. We had to write it in this framework of the op word, and then we had to brief that and make it into a mission that made sense. So,
hey, being that y'all are going to be officers, it's a skill.
Yes, sir.
It's a skill that's necessary.
Next time.
Yeah, you've got the actual fighting, but you have to be able to do that part. And a lot of us don't realize that goes on, and there it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into it than you realize on the front end.
It's amazing, amazing feat. I mean, y'all, if you look at the funnel, right, from all the kids that graduate high school, and then the kids go to service academies, and then the kids end up at West Point. Y'all are obviously exemplary and individuals, and obviously get after it. So I'm proud to know y'all. Once again, tonight, what time is it?
7 p.m. at okay. Three Circle Church in Daphne.
Got and also people got a few questions from the text line. If they can't make it tonight, what should parents do to find out more about service academies? Do you know, like, if they don't make that, is there a website, or is it going to be what process would you tell them? Like, if the parents, like, hey, this is a parent asking.
Yeah, yeah. You can definitely look it up. I know there's
westpoint.edu.
Okay. Yeah, and they have the info there.
You can get more information there. Of course, yeah, they're super detailed about the application process and everything you need to do if you're interested about going to a service academy.
Okay. What are you going to do with your time back home? What do y'all have planned? Give me the personal. I want to talk to you personally. What are you going to do? What's going
to? I'm just trying to keep play it easy. Going to see some family up in Montgomery, and then just really going to enjoy my time.
Okay, Trent, you got anything big?
Just some golf matches with my dad, and then I'll be going to the Iron Bowl.
Very good.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Oh, yeah. You see how both sets of fingers are crossed for me right now for that game. We'll put it that way. And y'all have any other football shout-outs you want to talk about? Any football games of merit that you want to discuss? Anything about
Army's playing UTSA this weekend.
Yeah.
Come watch the Black Knights destroy the Roadrunners.
You think it'll looks good?
It looks good.
Yeah.
We're the best team in our conference by far. Had a bad game against Notre Dame, but that's just a small pickup. That's also Notre Dame, so.
Well said. Cadet Andrew Conrad, Cadet Trad McDaniel, both from West Point. Gentlemen, thank you for your service to our country. Thanks for being here on the radio.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, where it's all about that 0%. And you mentioned this yesterday. You are, and I'm probably pushing something I shouldn't, but you can hide UTVs until Christmas for us, right?
Yeah, we can. If it's a Christmas present you want to keep quiet, keep out of sight, you know, we can, we'll still hold them for you closer to time of Christmas to help you out there.
Y'all hearing that? So if your people out there want to buy me, want a new, because I run an RTV now, but the new ones are, so buy it and hide it and then show up with Santa having it on his sleigh or using it at his sleigh. What else 0% goes for, not just the RTVs, what else does it go for?
Right. So it goes for everything that's Kubota, whether it be the zero-turn lawnmowers, the side-by-sides, all size tractors, the mini excavators and the skid steers, as well as all land pride attachments. So if you come in here, you want a tractor with a bush hog, a box blade, set of pallet forks, a grapple, all that combines for that zero interest financing through Kubota right now.
What about rental? How's that looking if somebody says, man, I have a little bit of time over the holidays? What's that stock look like?
So we got plenty of rental equipment right now, a little bit of everything, all the way from hand tools all the way up to excavators and bulldozers. Right now we're still running our special for the month of November. Our special has been pick it up on Friday, bring it back to us on Monday morning, and you get charged for one day of rental, but you have the equipment for 3 days. Well, this week's a little bit different. We're closed Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving. You pick it up tomorrow on Wednesday, and you bring it back to us Monday morning and only are charged for one day of rental.
Oh, you're speaking my language, man. All right. I think a lot of people, man, that is awesome. Get a lot of work done. So they want to come, whether it be rental or checking out a new piece of equipment, how do they find you?
Well, right here in the middle of Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. Come by, see us. This week will be Monday through Wednesday, but normally Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Or give us a call at 251-947-1471.
Hey, thank you, Blaine, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all as well, Sean. Thank you.
All right, there goes Blaine Price from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Grab a few of these texts here. Bonesaw said, Sean, I did not serve in the military, but I have the utmost respect, and thank you for always supporting them. Well, thank you, Bonesaw, but yeah, it's the smallest thing I can do, man. It's the smallest thing I can do. Bonesaw then transitions here and said, that being said, I was 10 and I put an entire squirrel I had shot in the deep fryer that my grandfather had set up for our turkey. I didn't skin it. I just threw the entire thing in. My family still looks at me differently. I can imagine. Oh, my God. The life of Bonesaw. I mean, you start working on a book here, man. It's very entertaining. Let's see. This from some named Texter, maybe something like that, said, Army will win this weekend. I hope Auburn upsets Alabama. And let's see. And Earl said, you need to talk to the enlisted. Sorry, man, you need to talk to the enlisted. Officers suck. Well, if you go back through, the nice thing is, too, if you've missed the interviews Veterans Month, which we've been doing, I think I've been doing it 5 years, maybe a little more than that, and had interviews during November with veterans before I kind of made it like, hey, it's Veterans Month. That's why I was so lucky to get to talk to World War II veterans way back when, and so few are left now. But I've talked to, even this year, through the whole thing, you can go back and listen to the interviews from this this last month, back into October. Plenty of listed folks on, you know, even like Command Sergeant Pataglia, who has been on a couple times with us, you know, talk about somebody who works his way up, you know, the whole way through the ranks. So, yeah, there's plenty of those interviews with the enlisted Earl from this month. So I think they're all pretty cool. And those young men, that's something. To know that you wanted to do something like that in the eighth grade. How many of y'all were that focused in the eighth grade? Maybe some of you were. I just don't know that it's all of you. All right. You know what? And while we're on this subject here of the military. Now, we talk about the fighting men and women in the military, and then you have the clerical infrastructure side, as in the Pentagon. I'll point this out. This story from Fox News, I think it came out last week. The Pentagon has failed the seventh audit in a row. They're unable to fully account for their $824 billion budget. I don't think, if you look, I don't think the Pentagon has ever actually passed an audit. Now, how would that work for you, the taxpayer, if you had not passed every audit or one audit? It says here, the Pentagon has failed a seventh consecutive audit on Friday. Okay, this came out end of last week. Pentagon failed its seventh consecutive audit on Friday as the agency was unable to fully account for its massive $824 billion budget, though officials were confident the DOD, Department of Defense, quote, has turned a corner, end quote, in understanding its budgetary challenges going forward. Don't you love this language? See if my daughter up at college would tell me, Dad, I didn't understand my budgetary challenges going forward. The audits resulted in a disclaimer of opinion, which means auditors were provided with insufficient information to form an accurate opinion of the accounts. Department of Defense, 28 reporting entities had standalone audits, 9 received an unmodified audit opinion, 1 received a qualified opinion, 15 received disclaimers, and 3 opinions remain pending, according to the Pentagon. It says, but with the goal of achieving a clean audit by 2028, Michael McCord, Undersecretary of Defense and the Chief Financial Officer, said the agency, quote, has turned a corner in its understanding of the depth and breadth of its challenges. Went on to say, momentum is on our side. Well, there you go. And throughout the department, there's a strong commitment and belief in our ability to achieve an unmodified audit opinion. That's the language. It's so good. Speaking of which, so this story is up over at 1819 News. And I do want to, I know I'm bouncing around. I have so many stories. But in that, and if we get time to get to this, Wall Street Journal has a story about how it says Musk wants $2 trillion of spending cuts. Here's why that's hard. And they're looking through what that Doge group may do. And it is hard. But they pointed something out that I've talked about many times on the show over the years. It's one of my things, right, about how much we spend in interest on our debt. Well, in that story, and I can pop this up over on the Twitter feed, at FMTalk1065 on Twitter, it has a breakdown in like columns and colored boxes and stuff, almost looks like USA Today. But it does show the net interest for the last fiscal year, the net interest on the debt was $949 billion. Interest, y'all, we get nothing for it. We the people. $949 billion in interest. The defense budget, as big as we're talking about here, was $849 billion. So maybe this is the thing I need to talk about to get people on my bandwagon. The interest is bigger than the defense budget. Let that soak in for a second. All right. So I mentioned the 1819 News story. So speaking of what's going on here with the Pentagon and the audits out there, story over from Caleb Taylor over at 1819 News says, Tuberville, and he's talking about the Ukraine war, but at the beginning of the conversation, he's talking to Kudlow. He's on Kudlow's show. And they begin with the discussion of Pentagon spending. Here's Senator Tuberville. I think it is. Should be. Here he is.
Reportedly looking to Wall Street to shake up the military-industrial complex. Should be interesting how that works out. Joining me now is Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. Senator, great to see you. Thanks so much for being here. Before we talk about whether Wall Street can work with the new administration to cut corners in the Pentagon, talk for a moment about how the Pentagon has become so stuck in their ways, the old revolving door between the generals who work at the Pentagon and then they go to work for the military contractors. I mean, we've been hearing that for decades, going way back to Eisenhower. Is it true, and is it time, or is it possible to break that up?
Well, you're exactly right, David. The American people want it to happen. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when President Trump was elected. It was a mandate to change business as usual. We're losing money right and left, David. There's so much fraud. There's so much theft. You know, the defense agency, if you include the intelligence, is a $1 trillion business, and it is out of control. We're spending, you know, when you hear $500 for a hammer, a lot of that is not true. But even if it's 20% true, that's the American people are sick and tired of it, and they want accountability, and we don't have any accountability right now. Nobody pays the price for making a mistake or losing money or money going out the door that's going places it shouldn't go.
And the problem is that not only is it just the money that's wasted, which is bad enough, but we're stuck with these outdated weapons system because not only are they protected by their friends in the military-industrial complex, and there's this revolving door that I talked about, but you also have a lot of members of Congress who get to rely on these contractor projects in their own districts, and they're very reticent to get rid of them, to bring in new blood. And that's why this Wall Street Journal piece was interesting, because it's talking about bringing in these new people who are on the cutting edge of weapons technology.
Okay, so a little bit of that conversation with Senator Tuberville and Kudlow there. And I think this is maybe, as you look through the biggest challenges that Elon and Vivek would have here, right, looking for efficiency, I got to imagine out of the discretionary, because just like here in Alabama, actually it's even more in Alabama, you know, 93% of our budget here is earmarked. We've talked about this so many times during session that you have earmarked budgets. It's really only 7% that they deal with in the general fund that there's any debate over. Well, same thing, maybe a little lesser percentage in the federal budget. Mandatory spending, I mean, you got $1.49 trillion for Medicaid and Medicare. You have $1.45 trillion for Social Security. Then I pointed out the interest that is mandatory is $949 billion we're paying on our overspending. And then other mandatory spending, they listed here at $123 trillion, just $123 trillion. The only discretionary thing that, you know, there's $948 billion in non-defense discretionary spending in the budget, and $849 billion in defense spending that is discretionary. How do you pry that loose? Because if I'm somebody working in the Pentagon, the second you start going in and looking for waste, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy don't like our troops, don't want to support our troops, don't want them armed properly. I mean, I go down the list of things I would impugn them with. How are they going to work that through? So we'll talk about that. Come back at 343-0106. Grab some texts and calls as we roll on this. What is it, Thanksgiving Eve Eve? Why don't we celebrate a Thanksgiving Eve either? I'm not quite sure. But be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, it's at 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And shout out, check them out, Fast Time. You know Fast Time convenience store in Daphne? Of course you do. You like great food while you get some gasoline. Well, they're doing a very cool thing right now. They're preparing and handing out Thanksgiving meals And this is going on in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Free, individually wrapped, fresh turkey dinners today until they're gone. So if you're hungry, you're thinking you're just getting ready to get out for lunch, go by Fast Time in Daphne, 2305 Highway 98 in Daphne. No questions asked. You just show up and ask for your free Thanksgiving dinner. That is pretty cool, Fast Times. That's good stuff. All right, let me I'll give you a heads up, too. I mentioned yesterday that my buddy Clint Jameson was ready for all the stuff for Christmas. He also wrote me yesterday and said, yeah, and I'm ready for Black Friday. So check this out. All right. So Adventure Earth Bicycles, where I got my electric bike from that I use in the woods, my hunting and just riding bike. He's got a big selection of those, 75 at any time for you to take a test ride on. He said, yep. He got an additional shipment of the Didago Fat Tire electric hunting e-bikes. So he's doubled up now. So if you're looking for the, you know, the 4-inch fat tire with the additional suspension, 750-watt motor, he's got those in. He also has U-Free City Comfort bikes in all colors. And those U-Frees are right now coming with a free front basket and rear bag. So I'm talking about those accessories you can put on them. They're already on them. It's $200 worth of freebies when you get that U-Free City Comfort bike. Also, Fuji. I know a lot of y'all love those. Fuji e-bikes are on sale right now, up to $700 off. And all e-bikes are on sale with Black Friday specials. So every one of the e-bikes is on sale. Some are even more than others, like I just read there. And he said also, he cracked me up. He said, hey, Sean, I've got 400 Amish or non-electric bikes in stock. They're also on sale through December 20th for kids, youth, cruiser, comfort, mountain, road, and gravel bikes in stock and ready for your next adventure. So check them out right at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, online at adventure-earth.com. Everything inside to get you outside. All right, let's see. Okay, this is a good question here. A named texter said, Sean, the question is, who's collecting the interest? Thank you for being interested in this thing that has been my, not that none of y'all are, it's just it's always seemed like I've talked 15 years on this station about fiscal conservatism, and yet it doesn't seem to get people's attention. More social issues, all those things drive, I think, people to the polls for Republicans and not the fiscal things, because oftentimes the Republicans have dropped the ball on that, right? But yeah, so who do we owe the money to? And I'll say a lot of it is to we the people. Right. Remember, they took the money. They busted the lock on the Social Security lockbox and used that. But other countries, it depends on when we're talking. As of now, it's reading up here. At one point, it was Saudi Arabia, China, Brazil. But during the pandemic, a lot of them sold off their debt for revenue. I guess their countries needed it. Leaving it now that Japan, okay. The latest here, because we always say China, and China's a big one here, but China has $105.6 billion. No, I'm sorry. They went from 105. China now has $749 billion in U.S. debt. So they're getting interest on that. The communist Chinese are not only making money with trade in our country, they're also getting interest on $749 billion. It's a nice mailbox money. And Japan is the biggest one now. Japan owns $1.1 trillion in U.S. debt. That country we built back, right? Remember the Marshall Plan and all that stuff? So they own over $1 trillion of our debt. So number one is Japan right now. China's second. And there's a bunch of other folks in the mix here, too. You've got United Kingdom. How about taxation without interest without representation? United Kingdom has $690.2 billion of our debt. Little old Luxembourg, $373 billion in U.S. debt they hold. The Canadians, you start lining up on the 48th parallel and start rolling some Bradley tanks up there. Canadians own $328.7 billion in U.S. debt. Now, there are a bunch of other players in it. I think at one point there were Russians. I don't know if that's true anymore. It said Indonesia. Indonesia owns our debt. But the biggest ones here absolutely is Japan. Second is China. And then you go down the list of United Kingdom, Luxembourg, Canada. So, yeah, that's the people that are making the money on our debt. And once again, that story, and I am going to link this through here, maybe at the news break on the Twitter feed, if you want to read through it from the Wall Street Journal. It's just this number that keeps growing. I keep talking about it and talking about it, talking about it. The interest, not just the interest, paying interest of $949 billion on our U.S. debt to service the debt. That number, to compare here, the defense budget, that big defense budget that they're going to look at and figure out how to, you know, be efficient with it, right? So Elon and Vivek are going to do this. Defense budget's $849 billion. The interest on the total debt is $949 billion. You could have a second full military for what we pay in interest on our debt. This is the first one of the things I'm so excited about. And we'll see what they do. I'm going to stand back and wait and see what the group does, the Department of Government Efficiency. But at least somebody's talking about it. All right. Coming back, April Marie Fogle joins me. Also, Dale Leish from Lanyap. A whole bunch coming up in hour number two of Midday Mobile.